Hello, hello, and welcome to Bricks and Banter, the show with real talk from the custom Lego community. I'm your host, as always, Billy, and today... Oh, what's that? Is that a tune I hear? That's right, the soft lullaby you hear in the background is the official Bricks and Banter theme music. My buddy Charlie created it, and I couldn't be more excited about it. He is incredibly talented and just knocked it right out of the park. Please check out his work on anywhere you stream your music. He goes by Charlie_the_Nomad. In the description, there are links directly to his Spotify and Apple Music. This coming Friday, June 4th, he is releasing a track of his own that uses this instrumental, so make sure to give it a listen. With all that aside, it's my absolute pleasure to introduce this week's guest. In such a short time, he's climbed the ranks of customizers and has proven his creativity and skills. This week's guest is none other than NN Figures, otherwise known as Eli. So with no further ado, let's get right into our conversation. And here we are with Eli, aka NN Figures. How are you doing, bro?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing well.
That's good.
It's awesome to have you on the podcast. You have a way more legit setup than I do to be doing this. And it's almost intimidating.
All right. There's an age where for a long time I was like, oh, I'm gonna be a YouTuber, I'm gonna get big at it. But throughout the years, never became a YouTuber, but the setup always got more and more expensive. So that's just where I am right now.
It's just a flex. What did you want to go into, like gaming stuff?
Yeah, I want to do like gaming and Minecraft stuff like that. Like when Minecraft was huge and all that.
Hell yeah. Oh, bro. Hell yeah.
Good old days, like 7 years ago when
yeah,
I got
that
the
was
Yeti.
The best.
Yeah.
I remember waking up and like just on weekends, literally binging just Let's Plays, like literally
oh,
dusk till dawn.
Chimney was... Swift, all the good
bro,
ones.
Bro. You remember when, did you watch Sky and Beijing Canadian?
I did.
Dude, those two were my favorite. And dude, when they collaborated finally, like for the first time I was there and I was like, bro, this is the hugest collaboration ever.
Like coming
ever.
Of age, bro.
Like Infinity War who? Like, come on, bro. That was the biggest crossover of our time.
Yeah, exactly.
You remember those, the prisons?
Dude,
what was that about?
Prisons, those were good. Those were good. I don't care what anyone says. Those were the best content on YouTube.
I absolutely agree, but at the same time, it's so weird to think back about that because like it was literally just a bunch of grown men role playing for kids. But and now I got to watch that when I go to sleep tonight. That's gonna be the
binge. Yeah, I was just thinking about like pulling that... it up while we're sitting here, have it running in the background,
have it running in the side. Yeah,
yeah. I have big enough monitor for it.
I might have to add in your, you know, desk setup into the wrap up slides. Just it's a flex. That whole mic swing, forget about it.
Amazon, like $20.
Oh yeah, word. Yeah. And the gamer lights, priceless. Priceless.
Oh bro, gotta have the gamer lights. Everything in my room is gamer lights.
Oh really?
Yeah.
There you go. Do you got the gamer chair too to match?
No, actually, I bought a fancy ergonomic chair.
You got that
Staples.
Milk crate? Just got
no,
the milk crate going on?
No, dude. I got like the bougie office chair, basically.
Oh, word. Big boss hours.
Exactly. Huge boss man right now. CEO style, sitting here, posted up.
All right. Well, before we tangent about more Minecraft stuff. Actually, I'm going to tangent more about Minecraft stuff. Bro, you speaking about wanting to be a YouTuber, when I finally started a YouTube channel, I'm like, oh my God. I was like distraught. I was like, what have I become? Like now I'm a YouTuber? Like this is disgusting.
I still want to personally do YouTube. I want to do like Lego YouTube in a sense.
Hell yeah. Yeah, you should do it, man. You know what really blew me away was the video that Hoodie made that was like super artsy.
Oh, like the intro to his channel?
Yes. Oh yeah, I guess it was just the intro. But oh my God, that had me blown away. I'd love to see people do more of that. I can't remember who did it, but there was a while ago, there was like a video of somebody who was like in film school and they did like this personal bio thing about Lego. And I wish I could find it because it was actually really, really well done. But it was awesome to see that kind of high quality artsy production be intertwined with Lego like that and our hobby.
Yeah, dude. I pulled up this video just while we're on the topic of it, and it's like the Hoodie video. It's like documentary feel.
Yeah, I gotta look it up now.
Like Planet Earth or something like that with the animals and stuff.
And off to our left, we can see a hoodie custom getting auctioned for a ludicrous amount of money.
The music is just like, the ambiance right now.
The vibe. All right. Yeah. Channel trailer? Bro, say less. Come on. Is that copyright free YouTuber music?
I love it.
I love it. But yeah, anyway, moving on.
Yeah, we keep sidetracking.
Well, so welcome to the show. I don't think I've actually ever welcomed somebody to the show. I don't think I've ever said that, but you're the first one to be welcomed onto Virgin Banners.
I feel welcomed. It feels good.
So how did you get started with custom Lego specifically? Because generally people are like, yeah, I mean, I played with Lego as a child. And it's like, yes, thank you. So,
as a kid, I watched the crap out of MGF Customs.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And like Solid Brick Studios and all that stuff. I even went on to like make my own videos. Mm-hmm. And I did gain a little bit of like snowball and traction. But I was so young that I didn't know like to continue it. And I just stopped and like deleted everything. I think I ended up getting like 1,000 subscribers at one point. And there's
no way
the channel just deleted it. I just deleted the channel at a random point. I was like 10 or 11, something like that. I'm just making videos of stuff I built or like a figure I made.
1,000's kind of huge, especially on YouTube. Even now, 1,000's huge on YouTube. Like YouTube's such a hard platform to get followers on, I feel like.
Absolutely. But I had like watched MGF Customs so much that I would paint clones myself at that age. Of course, I started with Sharpie clones a couple years before.
You got to work before you could run, you know?
Exactly. And then I made my own decals on Avery label paper.
Oh,
did those.
That's okay. This was my past as well. I had the same progression. I just didn't turn into a Star Wars guy.
Watching MGF, I was also watching the Clone Wars while I was like doing that. And so it's just kind of like turned into me just liking Star Wars. I have actually some of my old painted figs. I'll send you pictures so you can throw them up on screen if that's possible or anything.
Yeah.
I made those when I think I was 14 or 15, but I kind of like, as I got older, I kind of dropped Lego for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe it was sophomore year of high school where I was like, I got this Lego collection. I'm going to just sell it.
Right.
So my account. The dark year. Originally back in like 2018 was an auction account and I sold off most of my collection, dropped Lego again. And then I believe a year later, AV figures became like a big thing.
Yeah.
And I think quarantine had just started and I was, or no, quarantine didn't just start. Quarantine started at one point. Whenever quarantine started is when I bought my first few AV figures decals and slowly got back into it.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I had taken, since the break from Lego, I picked up Warhammer as a hobby.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So I was painting Warhammer and AV figures. Great combo. It was pretty cool to do. I never like made anything out of both of them at the same time, but it was like cool to have the experience. And I decaled some figures. They're still on my page because I was bored with quarantine and all that stuff. Started decaling figures. Was going to send them to an auction and Hoodie happened to have something being sent to the auction too. So we were in a group chat. And then I think he shot me a DM and we just started bouncing back and forth and we've realized like how similar we were. And we became like really good friends over the course of a couple of weeks and we're still good friends to this day. But then from there that like inspired me to kind of like pick up painting again because I'd done it when I was younger, did it with Warhammer.
Right.
And why not do it now? Like there's no point, nothing stopping me. So I picked painting up again too and started painting figures. I'd say I've been putting my all in for figures for probably the past 8 months, 8 or 9 months, something like that. So it hasn't been too long, but with what I've learned from Warhammer and just all around, I can like combine all my like skills into one spot.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you're really balling on a budget. You're just crossfading on plastic crack between Warhammer and Lego. Like, that's a lot. But the skills from Warhammer are just invaluable with the Lego customizing.
With Warhammer, I never bought like the expensive ones. I found some websites and like eBay sellers sold like the pieces. So I'd make
So you just kit bash. Models.
I'd kit bash, and each model cost me like $2 or something like that.
Oh, hell yeah. I would been wanting to just order like the parts just to kit bash, but I don't have the time. I have so many things I'd want to do with Lego. That's like when I'm like a grown man and, you know, really bored.
You're
so
40, instead of like the kids are at school, you got nothing to do. Yeah, the wife network.
Instead of beating the children, I'll just,
whoa,
take up a different hobby, you know?
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, you know, casual midlife crisis things.
Exactly. You know, divorce going bad, Lego figures booming. Exactly. Just like that.
I hadn't realized how kind of new you were to the community. Like, I was looking through your feed and it stopped like pretty quickly as I was scrolling down. I was like, oh, he must have just privated a bunch of stuff. Like,
no, those are.
It makes a lot of sense, like, to your skill level, just coming from painting Warhammer and stuff like that. That you wouldn't be all too
privated bad. Privated my older, like, decaled figures because they weren't as great. Mm-hmm. And since I transferred to painting, I kind of just didn't want decaled figures on my page.
Sure.
But yeah, I started with decaling and turned into painting. And then the painting turned into decaling figures for a hoodie auction. Like Hoodie and I were doing a collab where I was decaling figures and he was painting.
I recall that.
And that kind of gave me a lot of attention for that and definitely grew my account a bunch. And then from there, I just tried to relearn painting, retaught myself how to do it. Sent my figures to some auctioneers. They got a little bit of attraction, a little bit of attention. And then from there, resin printed parts actually came out when Nate started the Mandalorians.
Yeah, it's been huge. Oh, I'd like to dive in deeper with just the collaboration stuff before we head on into resin printing. Yeah. How was it collaborating with our boy Griff on those figures?
It was good. It was fun. We definitely took a bit of a bigger bite than we could chew on it. Our eyes were bigger than our stomachs because we kept like bouncing ideas off each other. When Griff and I talk, it's like putting two kids with ADHD in the same room together with nothing to do. But it's just us constantly talking about stuff to make. Mm. It was pretty fun. I'll say that. It was pretty fun. Pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best ideas right there.
Absolutely. But yeah, that collab just kind of kicked off like my enjoyment for painting. So I realized like, I used to do this as a kid and I enjoyed it. And people are like enjoying me enjoying it. So why not keep going, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
that's awesome.
That's the gist of it.
How many figures did you work on with him? It was like 4 or 5, right?
I have my page pulled up right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yep, it was 5.
Perfect, yeah. And how it worked was he painted up the base of the figure and then you decaled over that, right? And then sent it back to him?
Yep. Then I sent it back and then he touched it up, if anything. Actually, I think it was 7 or 8, but there's some figures I didn't get to take photos of.
Oh, gotcha. A little
bit more than I thought. But yeah, that was fun. I'd do that again. I don't like decaling anymore. I think decaling kind of feels like a chore.
I was going to get into that, yeah, because I have noticed, like you were mentioning, how you privated the old stuff. And just lately, I mean, it's very painter heavy with the stuff you're working on. Oh, yeah. So you're kind of falling out of love with the decals?
Oh. I like decals for like a month at most.
Oh gosh, okay.
Like in the first month, I bought a couple of AV Figures decals, some Teo decals here and there. Mm. They're varying qualities, but decaling was just so frustrating because you'd have to line it up perfectly for it to be good. You know, people judged you on if it was like a millimeter off, if it didn't look like a print, people would just judge you for it. And it was just, felt like a task, not even like a task, felt like a chore.
Mm-hmm.
Am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Can I swear? Absolutely. Sure.
All right, it felt like a really shitty job. All right.
Sure. Yeah.
That's the best way to put it.
Not even getting paid minimum wage. Just
exactly. It's like shitty manager. You're washing the dishes in the back for $2.50 an hour.
Right.
Fucking bum New York. I don't know. This is first to give.
I bought some stuff off of AV when he did the Mandalorian figure. So I bought, I believe, the decal sheet for that and the helmet and all that stuff. It's still sitting in my drawer, bro. I haven't even attempted to even cut the sheet out. I knew how much work it would be going into it, but I'm like, hey, I've never done it once before. This will be a great experience. Haven't even touched it. I can't. It's so daunting. Like,
the people that decal for like not even like a hobby, but do it for money and all that kind of stuff. Mm. They're crazy. I think they have the patience that people like me lack.
Yeah, no. It's really cool to see how AV as a brand kind of built up and like hired a bunch of community members.
Like, oh yeah, that's
doing
sick.
The decal stuff. Like that is really phenomenal.
Personally, I think it's great. Hold on, I dropped something. Give me a second.
Go, no worries. Go ahead.
I was like toying with a Lego figure in my hand while we talked. I was just like taking it apart and putting it back together over and over again. AV definitely like established the base of the community.
Like, yeah, and for me, I'm coming from like an outsider's perspective, but it kind of felt like overnight. Like
almost,
it was,
yeah,
it was very quick. Because like I'd been aware of what Andrew was doing for a long time. Like I've been around a minute. I've followed him a long time. And then it was a very rapid succession of being like, oh, AV is like the leading company now for Star Wars stuff.
I remember when AV first started, he maybe had like 2,000 followers when I first like noticed him.
Yeah.
And I was like, Decal Collins, what? No one's going to buy this. Weird. It's so weird. And then here we are. Almost a couple years later, and he's like the number one in the game.
It's insane.
Absolutely.
But like his whole business model, because again, like I was an outsider, I didn't pay attention, but then like in reflection, just going through and like learning more about what he's doing, it's tremendous. And he's got like that, I know you could like sign up for like season passes and stuff like that. It's like, bro, I didn't know I was playing Fortnite. I just wanted some figures.
So with that, I think they discontinued it in favor of printed figures.
Really?
Yeah.
How did the season pass work? Do you know more details?
Basically,
on that?
You pay like $40. You get all the exclusives that would have come out that season, mm-hmm. and a bonus exclusive. But it became like so bad to get because there was resellers that would like just buy it out immediately. There was fanboys that would sit there at, like the second it dropped at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So it just got hard to get, but.
Very reminiscent of Citizen Brick here.
Yeah, dude, Citizen Brick. Oh man,
did you try and grab anything on the latest Citizen Brick day? Are you interested in that at all?
I wanted the tattoo enthusiast. I don't really care for printed figs too much, but the tattoo enthusiast is pretty cool and unique. So I kind of wanted it, but I couldn't find it, so I gave up. I'm not paying $100 for a piece of plastic, personally.
Fair enough. I like selling things for $100, not so much.
Oh, yeah,
buying
I'll
them.
Sell a piece of plastic, $100, no problem. But buying one, no.
I can't even say that anymore, though. So with my haul, I'd gotten two figures from the random drops that I didn't necessarily like too much. Like, they were good. I would have kept them, but I knew I could get something that I'd prefer for them. So I was willing to part with them. I sold each for $150 and then bought off of eBay for $300. A light pink Ripley, which was like my most wanted item. And I was like, if somebody like it was a it was hard to be like to click that button and be like, yes, this is $300 I'm spending on a single figure.
That's crazy.
But at the same time, if I had found somebody and they're like, hey, will you trade me these two figures and I'll give you the pink Ripley, I'd be like, bro, you don't want more for it? Like, I'll send you my shirt or something.
You have shirts?
No, I just mean like the shirt off my back, but
oh okay. Happens to be Bricks and Banter shirt though.
Yo, maybe soon. Maybe soon. I've got I commissioned Eclipse Graphics to print up some logo torsos, but not actual shirts. So we'll see. Maybe in the future.
How much does you charge for custom printing? I've wanted to get stuff done, but I feel like it's super expensive.
Pretty reasonable, yeah.
Yeah.
See, I always thought getting commission prints was really like out of my league to do. Like, it was really, I don't know, not like it's gatekeepy or something, but like that it's just, that's a big thing. Like, that's really difficult. But I've been discovering that it's a lot more doable than you would think. Eclipse Graphics, like the pros and cons is that if you go with Eclipse Graphics, best quality digital out there, like period. But then you can get a smaller quantity of stuff done and still maintain like a really reasonable like bulk buying rate, you know. However, if you went with like Sizenbrick or another pad printing company, there's a minimum that you have to buy, you know. And for Sizenbrick specifically, they removed their on their website, they had a thing about like, oh, inquiring about commissions, and they took that off because I guess they're busy and they're looking to just focus more on what they got going on, or you know, whatever the case is. So that's not really an option right now. And even when it was an option, there was a waiting list. So like you were waiting like 6 to 12 months for your commission to get completed.
Oh boy. What's is it weird to ask like how many you got and how much Eclipse Graphics charged you? Is that weird to ask?
I feel like I don't want to discuss it because I'd worked out a deal with other stuff with him. So it's not like an accurate rate. I got 100 done and it's below it. And I'm sure if you got a quote, it would be below like the retail price for a torso, like $6 or so. Like it'll be below that.
That's pretty good.
That I could say confidently.
And a TMC and like Sizenbrick's like $500 minimum, $500 minimum. That's crazy. Yeah,
and TMC, you might not even get your order. So,
oh boy, TMC.
Anyway, transition. We definitely didn't have an off-topic discussion that had to get cut for legal reasons.
Yeah, but, dude, cats, dogs, buffalo—they were all involved. Don't ask why.
Yep. You heard it here. But moving on from that, I don't know where we left off, so we're just gonna hop into the next thing. But resin printing. This is honestly one of the things I most wanted to discuss with you, because A, you're in the resin printing game, and then B, why has resin printing just come out of nowhere, just so huge, similar to AV, honestly, maybe because of AV. Now that I think about it, that's actually probably the case. But
well, AV, in like the sense, kind of like, did resin casting, not printing.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't as good quality.
Sure.
And then
yeah, I mean that along, resin casting's been around for a minute.
Oh yeah, come along Nate's minifigs, and I don't know where he drops really cool Mandalorian armor. That was like 3D design and like just out of the world, game changing.
Yeah.
That caught on super fast because people were like, holy smokes, we're going to have 3D Mandalorians that look good. I can paint them. They look great. And there's so many options when they first came up. There's like, you could have the Din Djarin helmet and this other torso. You can do all these like kit bash stuff and people loved it. And then from there, it kind of like caught on to people being like, this would be cool to see as like resin printed for Lego. Like, no one's done this. And I think that's where Nate had the Mandalorians, and then Tristan CBB, Custom Brick Builder, came along and dropped some Imperial stuff. And that Imperial stuff was also game changing because all the parts for it were so like interchangeable. It just gave such cool opportunities. And that just kept going to evolving to different people doing it.
Totally. I mean, I've seen movement of the resin printing stuff in the military side of things too. Most notably was Valor Bricks popping up and doing stuff.
I remember Valor Bricks. Yeah, they popped up and then disappeared for a little while, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's still doing stuff, but it's more slow. Like, it comes out as he has the time now. It's more of a side thing, but during quarantine is when he started. So he had all that time to really just like pump out a bunch of stuff really, really quickly.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, he's still kicking with it.
I've been planning on dipping into military-ish stuff. I don't run a website myself. So I like sell through my friends' websites at the moment, like Custom Brick Builder, Pete's Customs. I sell through their sites.
Yeah, that's cool though. And you know, the cross promotion between the two of you is always beneficial.
Oh yeah, it'd be definitely cool.
So who's designing all of the stuff? Like, okay, not that it, I don't know. Are you designing your own models and stuff?
I am not. There's a man who kind of like stemmed from named Morphonauts. And he worked alongside Forge to make a lot of Forge. There's like casts and stuff like that back in the day. They're business partners. But because Forge has been sick, unfortunately, and Morphonauts hasn't really had work because Forge has been sick, I think Nate got his first Mandalorian made by Morphinauts, and then that kind of like caught on. Like, he realized he could make money on it, and people started going to him for commissions. He's originally like an action figure designer, which is really cool. And I've looked at that, seen his action figures he designed, so they're pretty cool.
That is amazing. Yeah,
he's got like his own little like superhero universe too going on. It's really neat. But no, it all stemmed from him, and then a couple explorers, we'll call them, dove deep headfirst into Fiverr to see if there are any good designers on Fiverr. Because Morphinauts does great work, like really great, outstanding work.
It's just expensive. I mean, I've been following him a while. I didn't realize that he's the kingpin of this all.
He is, but it's just expensive. Like,
oh, for his work.
Yeah, I'll talk numbers. You don't have to cut it out. I don't really care.
Okay.
Like the Embo armor set that you got,
mm-hmm.
to get the full figure designed cost me $350 USD.
Mm.
Which, that's a big old chunk of change.
Yeah, that's a big upfront cost before printing, yeah. Sure.
And then I happened to...
But I don't want to discredit his work in any way. That's certainly the price. Yeah. But,
For 3D modeling.
Yeah.
Granted, I think he's charging commercial rates, which that's fine because it ended up getting sold anyways.
There's a level of experience that you have to charge for as well, because he's not some fly by night. He's
exactly.
legit.
Yeah, he does it for a living.
It's got to be worth his time.
It's his job. Yep, exactly. There's that. And then I guess the upfront costs are somewhere of like a little bit above a grand, because you got to get a resin printer. You got to get a washing mm-hmm. machine, a curing machine.
Right.
You got to get the resin, which is like $60 a bottle. It's very expensive, but it's very fun.
Yeah, to start up.
It's very fun, I'd say.
Mm. So do you have your own resin printer now?
I do. I happen to actually get it kind of discounted.
Okay.
Family member of mine owed me a Christmas present. In a sense. So they paid for half of the resin printer. I paid for the other half.
That's awesome.
It's not like I held them to it. It's just that like they had left for like a 6-month trip, come back, and they're like, oh, yo, I was supposed to buy you something for Christmas. What do you want? And I was like, you want to go 50-50 on this resin printer?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, so that's how I started with it. I actually have a couple unreleased pieces sitting in front of me that I had designed up and made, but I haven't released them yet. Because still testing them myself. They're pretty cool though.
Is one of them the thing you discussed with me and was asking for some
I don't remember what that was.
The bucket hat? I'll cut it.
No, I haven't made that yet. I need to. That's on the list though. It's like top of the list.
Awesome.
You don't have to cut it because I have them ready, but the Boba Fett Krayt's Claw armor.
Okay.
Like, do you remember that arc from the Clone Wars at all? Where they're like hijacking the train with Ventress?
See, I love the Clone Wars, but I really can't recall. I've been meaning to rewatch the show.
That's
but you're making some nerd's day right now. Sorry, I didn't mean to call you a nerd. It's cool
that
you
like that. No, it's all right. We're all nerds, man. Everyone in this community
Exactly. I play with Lego. Come on. We all play with Lego.
Yeah.
We're nerds.
Yeah. But it's his helmet and shoulder pad. And then I have the armorer from the Mandalorian's helmet coming out soon, too.
Awesome.
Which I have that all done. I even have like a painted one like for photos. Mm-hmm. That looks really good. I'll tell you that. Maybe I'll send you some photos later tonight.
Sweet.
But this looks sick. I'm excited for these to drop. Definitely probably going to drop them on one of my other friends' websites, though. Because I like having multiple people be able to like shout out my products and be able to get them out there.
Yeah,
get the word
that's
out
smart.
There. Exactly.
Get it with different people, different
network,
promotion.
In a sense.
Hell yeah. I'm trying to figure out things to do more community driven, but it's
this or that series on your stories. You should try those.
This or that.
Yes. Yeah, so basically you post like two options, let's say two different hat or helmet options.
Right.
And you post one of the pull boxes. One side says side says that.
Sure.
And then
I meant
this,
like
that
community figures, like other creators and like coming together to collaborate on
those. Okay, kind of like,
but I'm still not even sure what I want to do. I just know I want to do something. I want to bring, so again, for me, like, we're kind of coming from different sides of the custom minifig world,
which
but
is
I want to get
cool.
my modding, the modas as we call ourselves, just together and on one, you know, collective project.
Honestly, me and you should do a collab.
With what? Like
me and you should do a collab.
Dude, let's
two different
it.
Two different sides of the...
Yo, you got the auction plug. Let's make it happen.
I got the auction plug. I got the 3D parts plugs.
I got... Yo. All right.
Bro.
I feel so bad that you sent me this Embo armor and I haven't posted it yet, no, but I'm literally posting it tomorrow. Tomorrow, so I'm going to get my photo. But hey, look, the way I look at it now is I wasn't there to hype up the release, but now as things like lull down and people are like, oh, I forgot about the Embo armor, boom, going to come in, promote
exactly,
it again.
Bro.
Numbers are going to be through the roof. Use promo code BM4 at checkout. It won't work, but you'll try.
It won't work. The spirit is there.
At least you tried, though.
Exactly.
But yo, seriously, let's make it happen. Yeah. I'm out of school now. I told my part-time job when they told me I wanted to come full-time. I was like, no, I'm not working full-time. So I'm going to try and push commissions.
Dude, exactly. I like commissions are low-key the way to go. Commissions and auctions. I feel like auctions pay super well if you do it right.
Yeah, I got to build up that hoodie hype.
Not only that, but you got to like... Yeah, like have unique ideas that will attract a fan base in a sense. Like, I think I'm still in like the baby ages of being able to do that personally.
Sure. So you think just in terms of the marketing or actually the figures themselves or both?
The marketing.
Okay.
Because I'd say you want to shoot for like the crowd that you know is going to spend in a sense.
Right, right.
Like, I think CBB has nailed himself right in the middle of that crowd. And one of his figures at one of the auctions went for like $400.
That's amazing.
For a single figure. Actually crazy, but it was a great figure nonetheless. I'd say pretty worth the penny.
Do you recall which one it was?
It was the Kasuma Armorer, I think. Like his custom armorer.
Hmm. Either way.
But no, yeah, I think definitely the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody who does it. I don't want to say again, military community, but I'm just going to say it again. But there's nobody who does that sort of thing for like auctions and stuff like that. I don't know. But I don't know if necessarily there's the community there to spend, but I guess there's only one way to find out.
Yeah, I don't personally, I think in the military community, people more spend on like printed figures, maybe a couple little bit of modded stuff here and there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Star Wars community, though, big ballers, everyone.
I kind of realized today, I don't say this to toot my own horn, but like I'm one of the only people who do commissions, at least like publicly. Like I don't see a lot of people really taking
them often.
And it's great. Like I get a somewhat steady flow of it. I love doing them, but I realized it because somebody was asking me for World War II and World War I guns. And I've done them in the past because it was like, I came from the mindset of, I always wanted to do something in this community to make money. Like I'm kind of entrepreneurial, like everything. I want to have that sort of business driven, like doing something productive like that.
Oh yeah.
So to be in that position finally to be like, oh, I could make something of myself here. I had in my mind, I'll never turn down a commission. I'll give a price. And if they decline it, that's fine. But I'll never, you know, decline a commission.
What do you charge on average for commissions?
I'll get into that. I actually have somewhat of a formula. But okay. Today, he was... I've done World War II, like, historical stuff in the past. I hate it every time.
Really?
I despise it. It's so hard for me because I don't work with historical stuff often, so I'm not familiar with the source material. And they're always so... Like... Because I also don't have the knowledge of the brick arms guns that I could use from the historical stuff, it makes it like extra difficult to research like how to do it. And they're always like super, not necessarily small, but it's like an obscure but key detail. And it's just such a pain to try and replicate.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And I'm just not in the headspace to have to deal with that. Like I want to do commissions and push for that, but I can't be stressed out of my mind having to deal with it. I have a bunch of other stuff to do. So I just straight up said, I'm like, I can't do these. I can't.
If it's, I mean, this might sound bad, but if it's a commission I really don't want to do personally,
mm-hmm. you give a really large price.
I upmarket, yeah. Yeah. But sometimes it's like such a crazy idea that I'm like, it's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be a lot of time. Is it going to be worth my time? Maybe not. So I sometimes have to give a cheap price when I don't want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, yeah, that's understandable. I think it's a lot more common than people think. And I don't think it's necessarily like wrong in a way. I mean, that's what...
Oh, definitely not.
You're charging for your time. And if that's what your time is worth and your mental, you know, capacity to do this, then that's what it is.
I base my price of commissions off of like how much I'd make at my actual job. Like,
yeah,
let's say a figure takes me 2 hours. Could I go work in my actual job, work 2 hours and make more than that figure sold for?
Yeah, I actually look at it the exact same way.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I'm currently in the stage where painting, I may make a little more than my actual job.
Awesome.
But besides that, it's like, I don't see painting as a job. I see it as like a hobby that I enjoy. Like, I come home from my actual job, like excited to paint because it like relaxes me, unwinds me for the day.
Yeah.
It feels good too.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Absolutely.
And then there's also that balance though, that you have to strike between like your hobby and your release becoming a job. And then that's painful as well. But so for me, I've kind of come, sorry, continue.
No, I haven't really like had that. I feel like.
That, I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I felt it sometimes.
You give me a scared.
I felt it sometimes like when I started the podcast and I was doing the, I did the Brick Nerd articles as well, and I was trying to juggle school, and it was just so much. I was like, oh my God. Like, it's also why I hadn't posted in so long or actually made mods for myself, because my like working in the hobby and community time was dedicated to producing other stuff and not like my actual fun time of like, oh, I'm going to paint or mod this. You know what I mean?
I want to get into modding personally. Like, on the low, I kind of want to make like a side account and like not mention it and just grow it.
That'd be so fun. I've thought about doing that before.
Like, I kind of want to do that. I think we should do that.
You should.
I think we both should. Let's do it together right now.
Oh.
We both make new accounts.
See, my Instagram, I already have like 5 accounts, so I'd have to like...
You can have more.
I'd have to get a burner. Oh, really?
Yeah, I got like 7.
Shoot. Okay, then yeah, we'll do like a challenge, so you could get more followers in a month or something.
Dude, took me like... Took me like 8 months to get to 1,000. Took me a while.
But back to like how I charge, I've kind of followed the same mindset even before I had like a steady job. I mean, I've always kind of worked like part time, like under the books jobs, but now it's like you know steady. But I've always just kind of compared it to like the minimum wage of what it is, and I could typically you're familiar with Brick Arms, like they're overmolds. They go for like 15 or so bucks. My most like basic, not most basic, but like a couple parts intertwined, like a simple standard sort of mod, I try and charge like 15 to 18. So it's that's in that overmold range where like so ridiculous to buy. It's like, okay, yeah, it's like buying an overmold, right? And quite honestly, if we're going to be real with ourselves, it's a lot more detail, but
I like Brick Arms. Me and him actually DM each other back and forth here and there.
Oh, that's phenomenal. Yeah.
Absolutely. He's cool.
He's great. He's great. But, okay. Yeah. Back to the commission thing.
Yeah.
And so for my mods, what I had to do, are you familiar with ModCom from Brick Arms? Where it was like the kind of plug and play parts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It had the peg system and all that.
Yep.
So to make my mods sturdy, I essentially do that, but then glue the pieces in. So I'm making like permanent. It's like I'm doing all the work to make my own mod com, except I permanently glue it in, which is almost counterintuitive. But it'd be a lot more work to kind of offer it, because if I were to offer somebody that it would have the ability to be removable, I have to like really look at the tolerances for how things are aligned differently. So it is kind of more work. I don't know. In my mind, I'm like, I'm doing all this work already and I'm charging them for a solid product. But then if somebody asks me for mod com, I'm charging them more. And it's like, it's the same thing. Like, it's going a further step for me to glue it and I'm charging less. But anyway, I just do that to keep it sturdy, because I can't in good conscience just sell something that's just glued, because it's no doubt going to pop off.
Yeah, I feel weird selling stuff that's glued personally. Like, it just feels not wrong. We're just like, I could have sent it to you. You glued it yourself, you know?
That too. But
you know, they'll pay a couple extra dollars for it. So it's not a huge deal.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so once things get like a lot more that I have to drill in and out to make all the connections solid, then it gets into like a $25 to $30 range. But typically they'd never exceed that. I actually just got like probably my hugest commission order from somebody, which I'm really excited to do. But it's like,
Can I ask how much it was?
Yeah. It was a little over $300 worth of stuff. But it was just like,
all right, look at you.
15 different guns to make. I'm excited for it.
But yeah, that sounds sick, bro. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. But yeah, I mean, so my idea is I'm keeping my like steady job part time, but then going to try and pursue my own welding. I'm a welder. That's what I just graduated school
for. Bro, I saw your helmet, actually. I got to send you one of my stickers. Slap it on there.
Hell yeah. We'll do that when we collab, when we're sending parts back and forth. But I decided I have like a garage space and I bought my own machine. So I'm going to try and pursue making my own things. I didn't get into welding to just not do like artistic stuff. Like that was my goal from the get-go. So I'm like,
to do like artistic stuff.
Yeah. So I made like a table and things like that for one of my final projects. And I don't know. I just want to do something that isn't like being an assembly worker. Okay. But so I'm like, there's no better time while I have the stability of being with my parents and all that. I'll try and pursue that and see if I could turn it into something. But at the same time, I might as well pursue commissions as well as an additional stream of income now that I'll have like those couple days off, not working a job. And I might actually make more than my job, which is weird.
You should have. This is a little off topic, but it's like
go ahead on
the same thing you're on about. I live in like a small touristy town.
Mm-hmm.
And what you should do, because there's someone in town that actually does this, they make like rebar sculptures and they sell them. They sell them for bank.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, but there's like,
I'm trying to get into all of it. I have so many ideas of metalworking projects.
His name like got out there so fast that he like couldn't keep up. So now it's like, whenever he releases, not even releases, like he just puts it out for sale. Whoever comes and buys it first.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to like, the demand is like equivalent to like Supreme and like Gucci and like Bape and all like the hype beast stuff for how fast it sells out.
That's phenomenal. If you you know like what his name is and stuff or you could find him, I'd love to see his work.
I might be able to.
Yeah, if you could track that down later, I'd really appreciate it. That's awesome. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to pursue all those sort of things and we'll see how it goes.
Go for it, man. Nothing's stopping you.
Hold on, I'm just going to take a sip of water.
Yeah, go ahead.
We had like a bunch of strands to follow there. Now I don't know which one to go.
Hold on, let me grab a Tylenol because my head's been hurting since the vaccine. Rachel.
Okay.
Rachel! Can I have another Tylenol? Am I able to take one? It's been like 3 hours. Yeah, it's been like 3 hours. It's been almost four, actually.
I actually heard that from a buddy earlier because people were like, it was in a group chat and people were like saying how their second one hit him. He said it was just a headache and then he woke up tomorrow.
This is like a headache. And like, I'm having like a headache and like sweat. I kind of feel feverish, but not really.
Good luck with fever. That.
Yeah, bro. Everyone else in my family got super sick from it.
Oh, damn. Yeah, my good buddy just said he had to take out 3 days of work because I was like, oh, you want to go do this thing? And he's like, bro, I can't take another day off. I'm like, why? He's like, bro, I was so sick from the second shot.
Dude, it's killing me. Like, it's not hitting me hard yet, but right now I'm like, I'm ready to drop off the shelf.
Gosh. Okay. Well, hopefully I won't keep you too much longer and hopefully you'll wake up and you'll be refreshed.
Dude, you just hear a thud in the background, like no replies. Like face down on my desk.
Too much ABS.
Shut off some lights around me too. Maybe that'll help me out. Like I'm like, shirt is fucking wet to touch, man. That's how much I'm sweating. It's so gross. Taking it off. Hold on. Gotta take my headset off. All right. Viewers don't know I'm shirtless now.
Uh-oh.
That's all right. We just won't mention it.
That's the OnlyFans exclusive.
Yeah. OnlyFans.com/NNFigures.
Bro, I had set up a page for myself at one point. And I did.
You did?
Like... Whoa.
You were down bad.
Yeah, I didn't end up actually posting. I again, for Lego, BM4, it was under.
Oh,
But I want to revitalize that. I want to bring it back. We'll do like Lego toe picks and stuff.
I've been thinking about making like a Patreon or something like that.
Mm.
I don't know what I'd offer on it. Maybe like, I don't know.
I'm really intrigued by the Patreon stuff. I obviously have one for the podcast, which started up just because like the podcast, besides my time, it's just incurring like a monthly fee. So I just wanted to offset that. And then it's like my time to work on it. That's not necessarily donation, but this is what I want to do. You know, I'm not expecting that. And it's gone quite well for that. And now I get like additional funds. So like that's sourcing. I have a buddy working on intro music for me, and I'm going to pay him out of that for his time with Patreon money. And then I'm able to do like the torsos, and then whatever funds come from that go back into the podcast, stuff like that.
So. Hey, that's sick.
But yeah, make it pay its own way.
Exactly, dude. If you make your hobby pay for itself, go for it.
Hell yeah. That's why, see, it's such a weird balance with Citizen Brick stuff, because I'm a big fan of it and collect myself. But at the same time, I'm also kind of the evil that I despise with resellers, because I resell it to offset the hobby for myself, you know?
But yeah, resellers kill me on everything, though.
Yeah, I understand if you hate me. It's okay. I understand if you don't want to collab on an auction now.
I did it with AV stuff for a while.
Mm.
Yeah, I saw there was bread to be made, and I needed bread, so I went for it.
Homie's got to eat.
Exactly, dude. Treated me to some nice Chinese food a couple times. It's pretty good.
Upgraded from the ramen to the dollar menu off my Citizen Brick resale.
Absolutely, dude. Oh, the fo-fo-fo from Wendy's?
We eat in large, baby. You could pick off the main menu.
You eat big.
All right.
What were we talking about before?
I don't know. No idea.
I got half naked and like got amnesia.
Going back to the auction thing, I think that's kind of one of the strands we left off.
All right.
I definitely want to collaborate with you on something. That'd be really fun. We'll make something happen. And then would you want to do something? Let's just brainstorm right now. Do you want to do something like modern military, or like a theme? I think that would work best for us, just because you're sci-fi, I'm military, and I kind of love the genre as well. It's just like that in-between space of like a postmodern, sort of slightly cyberpunkish sci-fi aesthetic.
Took, like, I don't know why my dog is going ham right now, 10 o'clock at night.
I like the figure that you had collaborated with Hoodie on. That was like the stormtrooper with the tactical vest, but
that's what I
thought that. It was a bit tacky. So I would want to expand on that in a way.
We tried to like keep it like Lego themed.
No. I don't mean that as a diss. I just mean like to expand on that sort of concept and not make it like,
I was actually just
it's like, a clone trooper, but he's tactical though.
I was just holding a couple pieces in my hand right now. Actually, a couple different like helmets. I was thinking like we could combine for say sci-fi and, modern military a little bit more. Jeez.
We'll brainstorm. Think about it. He heard about that dollar menu. He's like, yo.
Bro, he's like, what the fuck? Y'all not invite me? He's going ham. Relaxed.
And now welcome Eli's dog to the podcast.
Yeah, Cooper.
Great to have you. Thank you, Cooper. Thank you for coming.
Dude, he's ran up in the shit. He's like, this is my podcast now. I own it. Got anything else to say about it? Damn. But no, that'd be a cool idea, though. Like, combine some sci-fi with modern military.
Hell yeah.
Maybe I could, like, paint up the base of a figure, send it to you, and then you, like, tack it up. I don't know. Tactical it up. Make them tactical. Yeah, see what I did there?
See, going back to my idea, well, not even an idea. I don't have an idea, but I just want to make something for people to collaborate with, like my homies. And it's like this weird thing where it's like we don't all do the same thing, but for the most part, it's like if we were to collaborate, like I could do that too. So why am I going to send it to you? You know what I mean?
That's true, yeah.
It's like a weird thing. But so with you coming from a sci-fi and like heavily painting realm, then there's a bit more room of like, hey, you have a strength here that I don't have. anyways.
I think both doing it would like be able to show like both sides, like what different sides of the community could do.
Yeah.
They could show.
Maybe we'll break out the decals.
Decaled the BM4 figures, bro. BM4 decals dropping when?
One of one. First time.
Dude. speaking of decals, actually, I dropped decals today with a Thicky Bricky, and they sold out in like 20 minutes.
That's amazing.
It actually was. I was very excited for it. It was some design, some concept that I made in Photoshop like a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I was going to have AV Figures make, but AV Figures was like, no. Just no. I was like, all right, well.
And I like to think his whole response was literally just no, period. Just, no.
It was a little more than that, but.
I'm sure. Andrew's a really nice guy.
Yeah, he is. But I've been talking with Thicky Bricky for a while because I like mm-hmm. his 180 decals. They're the only ones I actually bother to collect.
What's myself. A 180 decal?
Basically, it's like just arms, legs, front, and back. You don't do any of the sides. You don't do any of the extra stuff. And the helmet, of course. But like,
sure.
I liked his 180 decals, started buying them. And then me and him were like, yo, we should do a collab. And at first, we were going to do like a wave-themed Mandalorian.
Then a beach camo time. Did you see that? I think maybe you were the one who even shared it, that safari camo thing. It wasn't like a camo. It was a full safari figure.
Yeah, dude. That was
cool. I love that.
That was so cool.
Shout out to Brick Lobster.
Exactly, dude. He made the aquarium one, too. That was awesome.
Oh, right. Yeah, I remember that
one. Yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. He's talented. He slept on.
Awesome guy.
He needs more followers. If you're listening to this podcast right now.
I just realized I wasn't even following him. This is messed up. I've enjoyed a couple figures from him.
Come on, man.
He's got a Fencer clone. That's so cool.
Yes, bro.
All right. But yeah, big shout out to Brick Lobster.
Big shout out to Brick Lobster. If you don't follow him, go follow him right now.
You're sleeping on him.
Talented lobster in the sea. See what I did there? See? Dude, this vaccine's killing me. My 5G connection's like poor right now. I'm like not close enough to the cell tower or something.
Is the magnet sticking to your arm, bro?
Oh, bro.
Just magnets everywhere. You turn it into a fridge.
Someone said in a group chat earlier, I don't remember exactly what they said, but they said something along the lines like wear a tinfoil hat and your connection will stabilize or something like that. And honestly, I thought about it, man. This vaccine's kicking. I'm so sweaty. I'm not even moving right now.
All right. I feel bad to keep you any longer then.
No, we can continue. Just give me something to do. Better than sitting there laying in bed thinking about how I'm suffering. We can continue. Keep going. Please, come on, man. Keep it going.
Okay. So yeah, you collaborated with Thicky Bricky. Was that the same person you collaborated? I was looking through in your past posts. You'd collaborated on decals with somebody else.
That was Wuhan Industry and Teo, actually. Okay. Back in the day. But Teo, I believe, is...
Oh, like, yeah, sure. Teo's Lego Garage. Cool.
Yeah, I don't remember what he does now. I think he's like a full-time dentist or something now.
Mm.
Which is kind of a strange transition to go from Legos to that. But yeah. I wanted to have it made by AV Figures, but AV Figures declined my commission.
Twice,
yeah, multiple times. And I don't know if it's because that one time that I complained about helmets publicly and was very vocal about how I felt about them.
Mm.
Maybe that, maybe not. I don't know if he's going to listen to this, but Andrew, if you're listening to this, hit me up. Let's talk it out. I want to kiss you on the mouth or something.
Andrew. Not while you're sweating, but maybe
not while
later.
I'm sweating. Yeah, like tonight.
Andrew, you should come on the podcast. Anyways,
Andrew, podcast right now.
Right, yeah, hop in. I'll send you the invite.
You just like hear the joining noise.
It's like, what?
Yeah. But no, that's Teo. And then I had the design and I wanted Wuhan to make it. And Wuhan did, was great. But I couldn't get on AV template, and the Doom design I had, I wanted on AV template. So I contacted this guy that had a very similar template to AV.
Mm.
And I'll tell you some about what I think happened to him later, because I don't think it's legal reasons can be on the podcast.
Sure, sure. There's a lot of legal reasons that are getting edited out.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say it so it can get edited out, I guess.
Sure, sure.
But anyways, back to the podcast. Snap back to
reality.
Boom, we're back from the edit. What's up, guys?
Clap in. Now we're...
There we go. Oh, man, what were we talking about?
But yeah, you got these decals.
Vaccines making me like, forget stuff.
You got these decals made by Teo's Garage. And
oh, yeah. And then, yeah, that other guy, 360 guy, just disappeared off the planet. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
For legal reasons, perhaps.
Yeah, legal reasons, perhaps. Mayhaps. Well, we don't know.
Who's to say?
He doesn't reply to DMs. We don't know. Speaking of DMs, gonna open those while we're in here. Was there anything in the box on the story?
Everyone asked like super generic questions. It was disappointing.
I mean, you can hit me with some generic questions.
Ask NN why his figs are always bussing.
I don't know, man. I definitely have progressed in the past couple months on painting skills, but
yeah. I'm going to be honest. I don't want me saying bussin' out there, so I'm going to get that. I'm editing that out.
Oh, come on, man.
Here, we could, like, I'll just read them off, and if one of them really, have you ever been to any conventions?
Brick Fair, New Hampshire, 2014, I think.
Okay, wow.
I remember it. I went there, and at the time, X39 Brick Customs, I think Brick mm-hmm. Technical now,
yeah,
he wasn't as big as he is now.
Yeah, no, he was small, like, pretty
when, when he replied to, like, YouTube comments and stuff like that. And me and like constantly talks like on every one of his videos in the comments, like about like hanging out and meeting up there. And we met up. We didn't really hang out for very long because I had to go, but we met up. I bought something from him. I think he gave me a little bit of a deal on it, but yeah, met up, hung out. Pretty cool. First time at Peyton. And then like I kept commenting on videos. I was like, yeah, dude, I remember you. And then a couple years later, we get to where I am now and I shoot him a DM. On Instagram, he's like, yo, no way, I remember you, what's up, how you been? And I actually turned into us being friends. I got his like personal phone number and stuff, and we talk every now and
then. That's so awesome.
Yeah, dude, that was
Payne's a nice guy.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, I don't know where I'm putting a transition or if not, so here's questions from Instagram. Where do you find inspiration for your figures?
Sometimes I kind of like look. So I like have the armor and I kind of like look at it for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something cool comes to mind. Cool color scheme. Cool concept. I'll like do the helmet first. And I don't intentionally do this, but the helmet will sit around painted, finished on my desk for a couple months. Weeks or months. I don't know if you saw like the green like Stormtrooper Samurai I did.
Yep. Yeah,
that one, that helmet sat on my desk for like a month or two before I actually finished the figure. So basically like, the finished helmet will kind of kick around until I get inspiration to finish the body. I like play around with different parts from different companies that I have. I, like, see if I can get a theme for the figure.
Mm. And so it's almost kind of a bit like kitbashy, like from your Warhammer stuff.
Yeah, I'd say there's definitely a take on that. All the hair on my arm just stood up.
Uh-oh.
What the fuck? Both arms are now like standing straight up with hair. Dude, I'm dying.
Bro, I can't keep you any longer.
No, it's okay. It's okay. But yeah, back to the figure. Back to the figure. We got this. Yes. We got this. I got this. Hair down.
Who's your biggest influence?
Biggest influence? Probably say Hoodie and Tristan right now.
Yeah.
I call him Hoodie, even though I know it's Griff and we're like really good.
I'm with you. When I'm talking to other people, I don't ever say Griff. And even when I don't know, I guess I'll call him Griff when I talk to him privately, but I don't know. It's weird to call him by Griff for some reason.
Yeah, it feels weird. Like I have a group of friends. They've called me like this one name for like 8 years because that was like my gamer tag moves. First play it's like just uncomfortable to say my actual name for them, like they right. all call each other their actual names, but they call me like
you know name,
like the name they call me is Dex, but like that's not my name. My name's Eli, but it's like it's so weird for us to all hear them say Eli that we all just like, yeah, just say Dex.
Just keep Dex.
Yeah.
Just see, Dex is common enough. It's not like,
yeah, it doesn't sound weird.
It's not XX Lego 420 Pussy Slayer 69.
Master, you know? Lego 7777 was my old YouTube. I remember it. Every day I remember it.
That I can't believe you deleted that. Dude. That is wild.
I had an alt channel with like 200 subscribers and I kept the videos on it for a couple years and I found it and I deleted it and I shouldn't have.
Bro,
my mom, when she found out I deleted it, she's like, why'd you delete it? Those are like your childhood videos.
It's certainly embarrassing stuff, but I think once we're out of this stage, like, I think there's like a buffer time of it being novel, like the immediate kind of like, now I want to wipe this from the internet. And then like later on, it's going to be like, hey, this is actually really cool that it's kind of out there.
Yeah.
But
what's the next question you got on the list?
There's really not many.
That's all right. If there's not many,
you know, actually, so I had asked, have you ever been to a convention? Because the question was favorite convention memory. And you actually just shared a convention memory without me prompting you to. So bada bing, bada boom. That's double question right there.
That's the highlight of it.
What's your, here, we'll go with this as the last one. What's your favorite figure that you've ever done?
Oh, my favorite figure that I've ever done. I'd have to say either the like red Imperial hover tank pilot.
Okay.
Or the recent samurai one.
The samurai was really neat.
Really is. I don't know if you remember what I'm talking about, but the red hover pilot. I say that because I think it's my best paint job I've ever done.
I don't. You're going to have to send it to me because I will.
It's just, to me, that's like what I like try to base my work on.
Oh, Mustafar Juggernaut pilot?
Yeah.
That thing is sweet, yeah.
Yeah, go like the third slide. You can see like the crisp, like metallic detail on the edges.
Oh, that is really thin. Okay, yeah. I just thought it was the lighting.
No, that's paint.
Damn, boy. That's great.
Yeah. So I'll tell you this tip and anyone that's listening right now. So like to do something like that, you might even already know this. Like take like the side of the brush and gently put it against the side of the helmet.
Oh, sure.
And it makes that effect. It's very nice.
There you go.
I definitely want to like later down the line start like tips and tutorials for other people, because you know I like seeing other people be able to succeed.
Yeah, definitely.
And if they're like, yo, thank you for helping me succeed, it's like, yeah man, of course.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do. There's never enough information out there.
Exactly.
All right, we're gonna go into the copper drop.
Let me pull up the pictures.
The one time that I never gave a proper introduction to Copper Drop, I never heard the end of it. So it's Copper Drop. Welcome to Copper Drop. Blah, blah, blah. If you like it, you cop it. And if you don't, you drop it. Maybe I should get like a theme music for that I could play too. Ooh. That'd be pretty neat.
Get like a voice that comes in that's like Copper Drop or something like that.
I'm actually, you know what? I might just clip that.
Welcome to Cop or Drop. I don't know, like a Thunder Drone voice.
That's perfect.
Or you know, like the little lemur from King Julian?
Oh my god, I would love that.
It's a weird talent I have, but I could like do that voice perfectly.
Please, please.
All right, let me move my mic away.
Hello, King Julian. Welcome to Cop or Drop, King Julian.
Thank you.
I pride myself on my weird ass talents, man.
Thank you. That was
you're welcome.
That was a blessing.
Gonna be on the internet forever now.
It will be.
You know,
you can't delete it like your YouTube channel. I got this now.
No one will ever know if it's here unless they watch the entire episode of the podcast.
There you go.
You watch the entire episode, you get that reward at the end, a nice little biscuit. But we won't mention it at all. They have to find out themselves
for sure.
Exactly.
All right. So here we are. First item up. We have the LM9 and Nate's minifigures lightsaber hilts. How are you feeling on these? Are they a cop or a drop?
Not all of them or just individually?
For this one, let's say the lot.
The lot? I'd say drop for the most part. I only like the double-sided Darth Maul looking one.
Okay.
And I'm not a fan of the whole custom lightsabers because, you know, if you have a display, you're not really going to see the lightsabers. You're going to see the figure first.
Hmm.
So personally, I'd say.
So I guess if you're more of a fig poster, yeah, that makes the difference.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I like those little details. They're pretty cool. I just don't do Star Wars, so I couldn't care.
Yeah, they're cool, but they're just
they came out well though.
Yeah,
they look good.
They do. Right.
Moving on, we have the previously mentioned CBB Tristan here with his totally not dark dark trooper.
I'd say this is a cop. Definitely. Absolutely. I'm actually holding one right now in my hand.
Oh, it's, seriously?
This is a serious cop. Get yourself an assembled one. Paint it up. Bro, these things are sick.
I've been blown away by the droids he's been making.
Oh my god, yeah, they're crazy.
Like, with all the moving parts and everything, he really took it to another level with the resin.
I can't say what's coming up next, but...
But something's coming up next.
Something's coming. And it's coming fast. It's cool. I'll let you know that. It's
hell cool. Yeah. Oh, man, I'm looking through his page and I'm realizing there's a lot more stuff than I even remembered.
That he posts.
He's got so like this often. Lizard thing to go around your neck, a bunch of different head designs.
Yeah, bro. He posts way more often than I thought he ever did.
Do you know if he's modeling his own stuff?
He doesn't. He has a team of modelers, actually.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's really expanded.
I'm hoping to get him on the podcast too soon. I think I've talked to him about it as well, so we'll definitely be able to dive in. So now that you mentioned the Morphonauts guy, I want to get him on real bad.
Dude, do it.
He would be sweet.
I'd like to hear what he's has to say about this all. Because
I mean, he'd be like the most like vetted person to get on the podcast so far.
Yeah,
with like toy design, like history. That's insane.
Yeah, dude, that's sick. I'd listen to the entire episode 10 times over.
All right. Well, I'm going to hit him up soon for that.
Do it. Definitely.
All right. Last figure up here. We have Nate's minifigs, Galactic Grunt helmets. Specifically for me, I just want to talk about the tech, as it's called, because I think, like, for me, again, I'm not huge Star Wars buff or anything, and so I don't typically buy the products, but this one was about to make me act up. I might have bought this one.
Yeah, I think this one definitely has potential. I'd say this one's a cop because... Let alone it could fit in sci-fi, but you could probably convert that somehow to maybe like night vision goggles of some sort and make it more modern.
I was thinking like it could be more apocified and stuff.
Yeah, apoc would be cool.
Maybe even steampunk.
Steampunk might be a little stretch, but definitely could fit.
I think if you modify the actual like frame of stuff, like if you were like cutting it up, it's got some elements with like the goggles.
Absolutely,
and whatnot.
Yeah, actually, you're right. Even if you maybe just cut off the goggles, get rid of the rest of the helmet, just use the goggles.
Yeah, like the visor, getting rid of that, I think it would change it up, yeah.
I think this is definitely a cop. I have the rest of the Galactic Grunts pulled up right now, too. I think they're all cops, personally.
Yeah, I think, all the models are super sweet. That one just really stand out to me.
The Echo one's a little funky to me, but the rest of them, cops. Mm. I actually I got a couple of those in the mail today.
Oh, sweet.
I got the Hunter and Crosshair one.
That's great.
Yeah, bro. But cops, definitely.
You're saying the Echo you're not feeling?
Yeah, I'm not feeling it. Looks a little weird.
It's the weakest of them all, I'd say. Still a great design. I think what I don't like is it seems to sit above the head a bit too much, like from the neck area.
I think that's just the Echo helmet in general, because AV Figures dropped an Echo helmet too, and people were saying the same exact thing.
Really?
Personally, for me, it's the visor. The visor just looks off to me. I don't know.
Either way, phenomenal work going into these.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Maybe I'll get Nate on too.
Oh, no, that'd be cool.
This has spawned a bunch of guests that I want to get on now, which is good. I had the feeling like, I don't know, I tapped out my inner circle of people, which was fine. I like expected that to happen. And that was kind of like not the goal, but I went into it being like, hey, I already know these people, so I can easily have conversation with them and make it flow. And like, I'll have a final product and a cool conversation to post. So now's the period where after the 20th episode, we're expanding, we're branching out.
Was this the 20th episode?
I think the last one was. Well, it's not the last. I don't even know what episode it is. I got to check the count, because if it's not, it's the one that I was about to upload, but then my computer said no. So it'll be the episode that is uploaded the Monday after we're recording this, which was 2 weeks ago from when you're hearing this as a listener. Oh, no. So, yeah, the last one I recorded with Dash Bricks and Skep Rock was episode 20.
Oh, those are like the big CB collectors, right?
Yep. Great guys. I did that one right after Citizen Brick Day. Like, literally, we'd recorded it the day of to, like, capture all the hype and everything. It was a really great time.
Oh, that sounds fun.
So, yeah, next episode, for me right now, is that I'm going to edit tomorrow, is the episode with Hammerstein, which was delayed a week because my computer just, you know, said no. And soon after, we'll have your episode up. Now, like, there's a lot less stress on the episodes because I'm spacing them out every other week. That was another side of the burnout of, like, my close friends to rely on to be like, hey, you're going to come on for an episode sort of deal. But
yeah, that's still cool, though.
Yeah. No, it's really exciting. I'm happy to, now that I'm out of school and everything, there's a lot less pressure to, like, keep a schedule. And now that it's more spaced out, like, I could really focus on just enjoying it. You know, it was a bit of a chore on the last two or three episodes where I was like, I got to edit it and go through the whole thing. But now,
honestly,
I'm in a much healthier mindset around it.
You might be able to go on Fiverr and find someone to do it for cheap.
I might consider that.
And what? With editing a podcast, it's just cutting the audio, right?
Yeah, there's really not much editing that goes in. I'll just clean up some of, like, the really, like, if there's an extensive pause on something, and I listen through for my own sake to, like, know what went on, if there was, like, a weird audio glitch, and then also get all the photos together for the wrap-up post. So that's all that really goes on during the editing. It's really nothing all too daunting. No. The first couple episodes, I went, like, overboard on editing, like, the pauses and stuff. And
it's figuring it out, though.
So it, like, literally took me like 4 hours to edit. But I also needed to learn how to edit too, which was relatively simple, but getting familiar with things. So now it only takes me like 30 minutes to an hour longer than the actual podcast episode, if that. Like, it's typically pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad at all, though.
Yeah, it's a light work, and though it's offset by being able to have just good conversations with friends and stuff like that. And it's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Like, the past couple episodes that I go into record, not even the past, like, the first episode, I was surprisingly not nervous to record with, but I was with Tanner, good Detroitica, good dude, great friend. So I was, like, really comfortable. Nervous? Huh?
Did I make you nervous? Is that what you're
Well, actually, quite the opposite here. So,
oh, man.
Ever since then, I'd kind of developed this thing of, like, oh, God, like, this is what I think happened, even though I'm not so conscious of it. Just like, oh my God, like, you know, people are listening to this and they like it. I got to make sure that's, like, a good episode, right?
Yeah.
Even though from the beginning, my only goal is that it's literally just me bullshitting with other hobbyists, right?
Yeah.
Like, the aim is for it to be as conversational as possible. It's not an interview. It's talking, right?
Just hanging out.
And yours is the first one since, like, it's kind of started, basically, like, that feeling of being nervous before. And, like, every time they work out super well, right? Like, it's just me being me and, like, getting nervous about it. But then as soon as things gets rolling, it's like, okay, this was great. It's smooth, yada, yada. Yours, I felt like, we've only DM'd for the most part. We talked briefly on Discord that one time with the Griff. And see, I tried it there instead of saying hoodie to say Griff, and it sounded weird.
Felt uncomfortable. So
it was.
It's like being naked in public. Just felt weird. Felt wrong.
I physically had to move my lips for it. Like, it was like there was extra work
to say Griff. You had to
force it out. Yeah, seriously. But I don't know. Like, all the different factors. Like, I didn't have many questions prepared or anything like that. I just had a feeling like this is going to be a really cohesive and just fluid episode. And I had no stress. This is the first one in a minute, so it was a real pleasure talking to you, bro.
Hey, bro, that's good to hear. I'm pretty easy going, so.
You are. You're good.
No stress. No stress over here.
All right. Any last words that you'd like to put out there for the listeners?
I'd say keep doing what you guys are doing. Do what you enjoy, you know. If you obviously probably follow good boy Billy over here already, But
you got to make sure to follow NN, our boy Eli here.
If you anything we talked about interests you, you want to look at it, you know.
Hell like, yeah!
My page is basically like an art gallery, so you can just scroll on through, got like a walkthrough, and there you go.
I like that, kind of like an art gallery.
Dude,
it's a great description.
Exactly. If you ever decide to go to art school, your Instagram's a portfolio for all your art.
Mm-hmm. This is true. But then also don't, at the same time, don't turn into one of those art hoes that posts like three white background, white squares to like offset your weird collage thing that you got going on.
I hate those.
You're wasting your life. Stop.
The second someone posts those, I unfollow them.
Oh my God. See, I would do the same, except the person that I know in my personal life that does it is just such a train wreck that it's like really enjoyable to watch, you know?
Oh,
so
no.
I couldn't unfollow.
Jeez. That's like evil.
I don't.
I want to say it's like sadist. No, am I wrong?
I don't.
So evil.
Just to clarify here, this is like a super old friend. I don't talk to them anymore, and I don't really use my personal Instagram to begin with.
So.
Yeah, it's, but when I do, I will admit when I do log on to my personal Instagram on that rare case, I got to check what cringe shit they've been up to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you though. I do that. I do that occasionally. I'll admit to it. I didn't want to. I want to try to be a better man, but now I do it too.
Exactly. See, I want to be a better man too. Like, and that's why I just don't use my personal Instagram, because it'll give me atrocious opinions of the people that I know personally. So
check up on people that are like just terrible in high school, you know? See what they're up to. See if they're still terrible.
And typically they are, but
absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes they're worse.
Oh wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. Yeah, but anyway, let's leave it on a positive note. You know. I don't know what the positive note is, but
good. Kiss your family, kiss your friends, kiss your significant other. Spread positivity and have fun with it. There you go.
Amen.
Positive.
I love note. It. It was great talking, bro. I'll see you soon.
It's good talking to you too.
And that wraps up my conversation with Eli, aka NN Figures. Thank you all for listening, and if you enjoyed this podcast, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes. I want to give a huge thank you to all of our patrons on patreon.com. We have Seth, Luger Enthusiast, Tupolev, Mike, Justin, Francisco, Dash Bricks, PK Custom Lego, Milo, Dr. Xbox Live, Jay, and Minibigs. It's such a mouthful, I cannot thank you guys enough. If you're interested in supporting the podcast, check out the link tree in our Instagram bio, which will lead you directly to our Patreon. Once again, thank you so much, Charlie, for creating this theme music. I couldn't love it anymore. Please show him some love and support and check out his music on Spotify and Apple Music under Charlie_the Nomad. You won't be disappointed. All that said, thank you all again for listening. I'll catch you next time.